Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Well, so you know, some key things that Pastor Mike was talking about, which are good, right? Something is not true because you've heard it for 10 years, right? Right? In other words, truth is not established because of the amount of people that are saying it, right? And truth also is not established because of the amount of time that you've been believing it, right? And I understand that in our minds maybe, right? In the things that you've understood when you lean on your own understanding, right? Which obviously the Bible tells us not to do, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. But the things that you've understood, right? People like to hold on to the things they've understood, right? But I'm gonna tell you something. If you allow yourself, right? If you allow yourself just to hear, just the Spirit of God on the inside of you, by the time we get done with this service, I believe that you'll hear things, right? That the Spirit of God can teach you that are going to be maybe different than what you have heard historically, but not different from the Word of God. And that's the important thing, right? So you're going to see lots of things. Let me just bring one thing to you here. Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve didn't have Scripture, right? They didn't have it, but yet they communed with God on a regular basis. In other words, their life consisted of their communion with God all the time. They walked with the Lord and talked with the Lord, right? Now there is a thing, right, that we call prayer, right? That we call prayer. But the one thing that I'm going to tell you is that we've lost something. The church has lost something because, and not because we have not been well-intended and not because we don't desire to seek the Lord, but the church has lost something. And I'm going to tell you where it's lost it. The church has lost something, right, in that we have been functioning according to a different covenant. Right? What the church has lost in their relationship with God, what we've lost it has just really been in this. It's been in functioning in our first covenant, right? And let me show this to you, or in a different covenant, I should say, right? Let me show you. Let's go to Joshua 1 and chapter 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. So, Let me explain something to you. Obviously, Joshua is Old Testament, so many of the things that we can see about Jesus, right, in Joshua. So I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Here's what he told the Pharisees. He says, "You search the Scriptures, which for them were Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy." So he was speaking to the Pharisees about those five books: Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. All of those things were not written yet. So he was talking to the Pharisees and saying to them, "You search the Scriptures." So he called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He called those, what did he call those? He called them Scripture. And he says, you search Scripture because you think that in Scripture, Jesus says, you find life. So that's something that the church needs to understand. It doesn't matter if it goes contrary to what people have taught for 150,000 years, right? It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, what did Jesus say? And he said, you cannot get life from reading your Bible. You can't. Because if you could, you don't have to be saved. Right? Just go to Barnes & Noble, pick up a King James Bible or a New King James, right? And start reading and there you go. Voila! You got life. Right? But you can't, right? You can't just get life from Scripture. But that's what the Pharisees were trying to do, right? They were living under a covenant, right? They were living under a covenant where instead of trying to read the Scripture and mix faith, right? Faith in God with their reading of the Scriptures, right? And remember, I don't want to confuse you. I'm talking about this covenant. I haven't gotten to ours yet, right? So let's just stay with the covenant that Jesus was talking to them about. The Bible says that the gospel was preached unto us just as it was to the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. There wasn't an Old Testament gospel and a New Testament gospel. There's only one gospel, right? And he says in Hebrews that the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But it says it didn't profit them. Listen, the gospel did not profit them. Why? Because they didn't mix faith with their hearing. That's important, right? In other words, they were hearing the gospel, but they weren't what? They weren't mixing faith with their hearing. So here's what he says then. So he says that scripture by itself, he was telling the Pharisees, he says scripture by itself, right, can't bring you life. So you search the scriptures because you think that in them you find life, but the scriptures are those that testify of me. So the Bible is not I've heard it, just like you've heard it, that, you know, that the Bible is our instruction booklet. It's our instruction manual for life. But what happens is that the church has held on to that saying, which it's not in the Bible, it's just that they made it up, right? It's your instruction manual for life. So you know what people are doing? Here's what they're doing. In Joshua 1 and verse number 8, look at what it says. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So let me ask you a question. Did Joshua have the Holy Spirit in him like we do? He did not. Right? He did not. Let me, before we even go off into the next thing, let me just show you why that's true. If we could go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 39. So, let me help you with this real quick. So, in Hebrews chapter 11, we know, and the church normally calls this, right, the hall of faith, which is fine, right? But let me explain something to you. Moses, right, Moses and all of the people that it mentioned that lived by faith, right? Abel is mentioned here. Rahab is mentioned here. These are not Bible-toting people, right? None of them, right? It's not like they had a Bible under their arm, right? So how did they do everything that the Bible says they do? Because it mentioned David, and David had a huge part in writing scripture, right? He wrote the Psalms, which are today part of our scriptures, right? So but all of these people, how did they do? Moses, how did he do, right? Moses is accredited with being the one who God through him, and right, God inspired him to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, but he didn't have it. So how did these people do anything? How did Abraham do anything? You know how they did it? Because the word of the Lord came to them. The word of the Lord came to them saying, the word of the Lord came to Moses, the word of the Lord came to Noah, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, right? So the word of the Lord came, the word of God came to them. It didn't say scripture came to them or a Bible came to them. It says, and listen, Bible reading, right? Reading your Bible, right? And being able to know what it says is an awesome thing, an awesome thing. What we're trying to get you into, right, is not away from reading your Bible, right? It's allowing God to do it the way it was intended to be done, right? The way it was intended to be done, right? So let me show you. So it says, here's what it says at the end of Hebrews 11 and verse number 39. All of these that it mentioned, you know, David, Barak, all of these that did awesome things by faith. Can we remind ourselves again, where does faith come from? Hearing, right? Just want to make sure we weren't going to say reading, but that's okay. So faith comes by hearing, right? And it's all right, and it's okay. And the cool thing is that if what you're hearing is correct, you can read it, right? Because if you don't read it, then what will Scripture do? Scripture will correct you, right? Because the Word of God is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction. So the Word of God is awesome for what we're doing right now, right? Which is what? To teach, right? To teach. But listen, here's this is really the crux of what God is telling me, and it just gives me the willies, right? Because it's just so good. Listen, reading your Bible is not talking to God. And I'll tell you the way the Lord has showed me, right? Reading your Bible cannot be a substitute for knowing Him or hearing Him. Reading your Bible should not, I say that, why? Because it has become that for the church. The relationship with the church, the bride of Christ, with their God, has become reading their Bible. Right? That's why devotionals are a powerful, powerful, strong thing within the church. But people don't devote. It's about, you know what? It's about, I devote this. Listen to the mentality, right? Because we've all thought it. I devote this time to you because I'm going to read what you said. And you see, right? I'm devoting. So we call it devotion time, right? So we think that there's actually a time of the day where you can actually hear from God more than in others, right? And that you can somehow know him more than in others. A time of your day that is more powerful than other times of the day. Right? But what are we losing? We're losing. We don't even have what Adam had. Let me say it this way. Let me rephrase that. We have more than Adam had, but we live as though we don't even have what he had. Because you know why? It's foreign to people to think that God can speak to their heart. It's foreign to people. It's foreign to people. And I'm going to tell you, listen, this is so important, my God. And if you leave your heart and just let the Spirit of God teach you, not your old doctrine, right? Let me explain something to you. The covenant that you live in is exactly what God wanted. That he would speak to your heart. That was the basis of the entirety of the covenant. And I'm going to read it to you. The entirety of the covenant that we live in today was so that we could know him. So that he could be our God. And so that we would be his people. Right? So listen what it says in verse number 39. It says, all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive, speaking of Old Testament people that lived by faith, they did not receive the promise. The promise is what? The Spirit of God, right? The promised Spirit of Holy Spirit, right? They didn't receive the promise, having provided something. Please listen to this. God having provided something better for us. God provided something better for you than who? Something better than what Moses had. Something better than what Noah had. Something better than what Rahab had. Something better than for every single person that is named in Hebrews 11. God has something better for you than what they had. And look at what they did with what they had. Look at what Noah, look at what Moses did. Look at how God worked through these men, right? With what they had. And what God says you have is better than what they had. But we live as though what we... Like, I couldn't do, you know, God couldn't use me like he used Moses. But why is that? Because we don't hear like Moses here. We want to read our way into a relationship with God, right? But that's not where faith comes from. Faith doesn't come from reading. Right? Your intellect and your understanding. Listen, can I tell you something? I went to Bible school, right? And there wasn't a single solitary thing I learned in Bible school that profited me in my relationship with God at all. If anything, it was a detriment to my relationship with God. Why? Because I was taught rules. I was taught ways of studying your Bible. I was taught, you know, the law of this and the law of that. And you hear it mentioned, right? The law of first mention and the law of this and blah, blah, blah. And all of this stuff. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like going to secular college. It sounds like philosophy. It sounds like the doctrine of this world. It doesn't sound like somebody's teaching me how I can teach the living word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that's powerful, that can cut deep into people's innermost thoughts and desires. It doesn't talk to them about the freedom and the liberty that have in the Spirit of God. It's teaching them rules about how you can study better, right? How you can study better. But you can stick your nose in this book all day long, and it doesn't mean you're hearing from God. It really doesn't. I believe that the what the church continues to hear, it hear. Listen, I'm gonna show you a little something. The most powerful things that have happened in the New Testament church today have happened from people that have this little thing in common. One little thing in common, you know what it is? They know how to pray. But you know why that happens to profit them so much? And people misunderstand because they say, but they know so much scripture. So it must be, the answer must be in scripture memorization. The answer must be in scripture study. But that's not where they're hearing the scripture. God is working through the lives of men and women today. Why? Because what they're doing is that they're learning how to hear him. Right? So in other words, God can teach you something and show you something that is true about him. Let me pause there for a moment. Let me ask you a question. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, right? I mean, God forbid that we forgot that, right? He lives on the inside of us, right? So he's there any time of your day. In the morning, at night, even in the middle of your day when you're working, he's there with you, right? Let me ask you this. If you, for whatever reason, could not have a Bible, You were in a country that did not allow Bibles, right? China up to recently, and I don't know where they are now, having a Bible is actually illegal, and you could go to jail for owning a Bible, right? And I don't know how the government is there now. But let me explain something to you. Do you actually think, because with our current thinking in the church, you know what we would think? You can't grow in your relationship with God if you can't have a Bible. You can't know Him. What a shame. What a shame that that's what we've come to, right? We've come to a place where we've limited what God can say to you only if you can see it on paper, right? When you know what it really should be? It should be God speaking to you and teaching you. And you're communing with God. And spending time with the Lord in prayer. And then He teaches you things and shows you things about Him, right? And then He'll bring you to Scripture, right? That testifies of what God is teaching you. Listen, every single thing that Paul the Apostle learned, he went away for years. I think it was something like 11 years. And he was taught by the Spirit of God. He didn't have the New Testament that me and you have. He wrote 2/3 of what we have, right? So what he learned because the Spirit of God taught him. A man did not teach him. There was no man to instruct him. He came then later to the disciples. He didn't come to the disciples to learn. He came to the disciples. Listen to how awesome this is. He came to the disciples to share with the disciples what God had taught him, to make sure that the disciples were in agreement with what he was teaching, because if what the disciples are teaching came from God and what Paul is teaching came from God, they should mesh, right? They should mesh. But why? Because both of them were taught of the Lord. The disciples were taught of the Lord just as what? Just as, listen, how else can I think, how else could men know anything before Scripture was written if they didn't hear it from God? But can I tell you something? Because you have the written word in your hand, can we do something? Let's not go backwards. Let's not go backwards in our thinking to think that we have something less than what Joshua had. Can we go to Joshua chapter 1 then again in verse number 8? Look at what it says. It says, this book of the law, it says, shall not depart out of your mouth. So here's what happens. Joshua didn't have, in Joshua 1:8, right? Joshua didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of him. So here's what he had to do. He had to literally recall the Word of God. Recall the Word of God and meditate on the Word, constantly meditating on the Word. The Word that God was teaching him as God spoke to him, right? But also, in other words, the book of the law, he needed to live there, right? But now the shadow of this is a beautiful thing, and I'm going to show you that in a second. But he told him that if he would meditate on the book of the law day and night, if he would do that, meditate on it day and night, it says that way he would be able to observe to do. Now, here's what happens. Joshua, by himself, could not observe to do, right? He couldn't do that successfully by himself because here's what he didn't find. What Joshua could not find in him was the power with which to do it. So that's a little bit of a punchline, right? So let me stay with where we are, right? So that we're all on the same wavelength. So Joshua was needed to meditate on the Word of God day and night, and only then, it says, will he succeed? Only then would he have good success. But it says, here was the key thing. He said it could not depart from his mouth. Could not depart from his mouth. That was important, right? So can we just do this for a second? Can we just put that on the shelf, right? So here's where we are. Where we are right there is that the Lord said, right, that he needed to, that the Word of God, that book of the law, could not depart from his mouth. It could not depart from his mouth. So that was a key thing. So let's just put that on the shelf for a second. So that he was living under a covenant, right? He was living under a covenant. However, Joshua was a man of faith. And we know that Joshua was a man of faith because it was only by faith that he was able to go in and take the land of Jericho. It was by faith that him being 2 of the 12 spies believed what God said. That was by faith that he did that, right? By faith in God. So let me show you something. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Right? I just want to explain to you then about the covenant that we're in. I want you to see what Joshua had, and I want you to see the desire of God. That's why we mentioned Adam and Eve at the beginning. I want you to see the desire of God in the new covenant, and then how it's different, how Joshua 1:8 is fulfilled in us today. Right? That's what we want to see. Because Joshua 1:8 is true, but that testifies of Jesus. Joshua 1:8 testifies of Jesus. But how does it testify of Jesus? This book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. How does that testify of Jesus? It does. It does. So Jeremiah chapter 31. Okay, well, that's kind of easy. Right? Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. And look at what he says. He says, behold, it says, the days are coming. So this is the word of the Lord having come to Jeremiah. How was Jeremiah able to speak the word of God? Because of the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't pick up a scroll and then start speaking. Right? The word of the Lord came to that man. And he spoke. What you have is better than what Jeremiah had. And if Jeremiah could hear the word of God, right? He could hear the Lord speak to him in his heart, and he could speak out the word of God. Notice something very interesting there. What happened? The word of God, where was it? It was in Jeremiah's what? It was in Jeremiah's mouth, right? What did God tell Joshua? That the only way for him to succeed was for the book of the law not to depart from his mouth. But where was it before it was in his mouth? The word of the Lord came to what? Jeremiah's mouth? The word of the Lord didn't come to Jeremiah's mouth. The word of the Lord came to the heart of Jeremiah. Right? And he spoke, right, the word of God. It came to his heart, right? We're going to get there. But watch this. So the word of the Lord came to him and he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Look at with such, how exact he can speak what God is saying. Right? He's saying, behold, God is not literally himself saying it apart from the body and mouth and the tongue of Jeremiah. He's saying it through Jeremiah, right? But look at with what exactness, if that's even a word, he's speaking it, right? What you have is better than what Jeremiah had. What you had is better than what Jeremiah had. And the church thinks today that the only way that it can utter scriptural things is if it memorizes it first and then says it. Right? Why? Because we're limiting ourselves that the only way that we can learn is if we memorize this, and if we memorize it, then we can speak it. That's called leaning on your own understanding. That's what that's called. Memorizing scripture and leaning on what you memorize is called leaning on your understanding. Leaning on the Spirit of God means that you don't have to memorize it and it'll shoot out of your mouth. Right? That's leaning on the Spirit of God, right? Because, listen, if I tried to memorize every single thing that the Lord wanted me to say here, I could never peel my eyes off of a notebook, right? And believe me, I don't spend my nights trying to memorize what God wants me to say so I can get up here and spew it to you, right? That's not how it works, because that would profit you nothing. It would profit you nothing. So if I put my notes ahead of what God wants to say, or if I put my purpose and what I understood ahead of what God wants to say, we'd be in trouble, because you couldn't learn. You couldn't hear that way, right? You couldn't hear that way. But watch what he says. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new one with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. You see the heart of God? He was a husband to them. He delivered them from Egypt, and yet what? The covenant that he made with them, they broke it. Why? They broke that covenant. Why? Because they wouldn't have faith. Listen, this is so, my God, it's so important. Listen to me. Where was the downfall of the Pharisee? Where was the downfall of the Pharisee? God gives them a law so that they could see that law and understand their need for a Savior, right? So what do? They receive the law, they study it, and then they start teaching it. So what is born? Lawyers, right? Lawyers, in other words, people that teach a law. But what happens is, when a lawyer teaches the law, he's saying, you have to do it. And if you don't do it, you're breaking the law, and we're going to put you in jail. Right? But you see what the problem is? God never intended the law to be a thing that would be taught. Because he said, listen to what they say, not what they do. Right? Listen to what they say, not what they do. In other words, God is saying the law is good and it is perfect. But what God wanted people to learn is what Paul learned. He said, when he heard thou shalt not covet, he sensed in his body covetousness rising up out of him. When he heard what? Thou shalt not covet. So what did he say? He said what God wants every human being at that time to have understood when the law was given. Who will deliver? Oh, wretched man. That you see what he, the conclusion that he came to? That was a total godly, right? That was a total godly, thing that he came to in his life, was that he understood what? He understood that he was a wretched man. Right? He heard the law, and he didn't try to do the law. Right? What did he do? He heard the law, and he said, I can't. He said, I want to, but I can't. The very thing that I want to do, that thing I can't do. But the thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the thing that I want to do, that's the very thing I don't do. Right? So what happened? He found in himself, watch, because my God, it'll help you, right? He found in himself no power with which to keep the law. Right? And then he found no power with it, and he recognized, who will deliver me? You see what a beautiful, awesome question he came to? Who will deliver me from this body of death? And the next verse he says, thanks be to who? Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ my Lord. What did he find in Jesus? Deliverance from the body of death. What did he find in Jesus? The power in him to do what needed to be done. What did he find in Jesus? He found in Jesus the Spirit that is the only one that can put to death the deeds of the flesh. He found in Jesus the Spirit that would circumcise him. Because the church is not to perform circumcision. The church is the circumcision. Right? The church is the circumcision. We are the circumcised ones. Not of the flesh of the foreskin, right? But we are the circumcised one of our flesh, right? He ripped it off of you. He cut it away. Now you're no longer subject like Paul was in Romans chapter 7, explaining the life before Christ, where he said, I want to, but I can't. Now he says, and that was Romans chapter 7, right? What does he open up Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 with? Now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why does he say that? Why does he jump to that now? Let me explain to you why he jumped to that. Jeremiah 31, where we are, look at what he says. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Look at verse number 33. But this is the covenant, listen, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their what? I will put my laws in their mind. Right? In this new covenant, where is the word of God? Here? That's scripture. Where, in this new covenant that we are in, where is the word of God? So there's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. In the new covenant, they didn't have the word of God abiding in them. John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide on the pages of your Bible so you can read them. No, right? It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in what? In you. In you. In you. What is the church doing? Reading their scriptures diligently. A psalm, a proverb, an old and a new. And then they think, I've spent time with God. I'm successful. Right? But we're missing something. We're missing something. We're searching the scriptures because we think that in them we find life. We pick up our Bible one day at a time to read the scriptures in 365 days and we think we've done something. Right? But that's not it. That's not what he had in mind. Let me show you what he had in mind. He said, I will put my... Listen to a heart of a God that wants you. Right? Look at what he says. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will write it on their hearts, he says. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me. We're getting to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 that says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins. It says their sins I will remember no more. You see what he does? Listen to what God did. In a nutshell, listen to what he did because it's a beautiful thing, right? He knew that the consciousness of sin was a problem for man. They could not approach God. Right? So what did God want to do? God sent Jesus. He says, bring them to me. You see what he told his son? He says, bring them to me. Bring them to me. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. If God teaches you that and said the job of Jesus was to bring you to me, how do you know that that's true? Because of the scripture that's written that says, for it is written. See, when Jesus said, for it is written, he said something, right? He knew something, and he said, it is written. So Jesus was not just quoting scripture. He was saying what he knew to be true, right? Because he is the truth, right? So the scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What is the heart of God? That he would be our God and we would be his people. How would you like it if you wrote a beautiful letter of your love for your children and you've been separated from them for a long time? And all of a sudden now you come and you're reconciled to them, right? But they can't get their face out of the letter. You're standing right in front of them now. You want to spend time with them. You want to go to Burger King to have something to eat. You want to spend a little fun time. You want to go on vacation with them. But they don't have time for you because they're too busy reading what you wrote. Right? Where's the disconnect and where is the problem? They love you. That's why they're reading the letter. They love you with all their heart. Right? And that letter could be a confirmation of your love for them if they would look to you. Right? But here's something better, because that analogy stinks. Right? You know why? Because he doesn't live with you. He lives in you. He lives on the inside of you. And he said, I will, what did he say he would do? He said, I will put my laws in their heart. How did he do that? How did God put his word in you? Right? You know why? Because the Bible says that we have been given the Spirit of God. He said, not the Spirit that is from the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That only by that Spirit would you know the things that have been freely given to you. So how do you know what God has given you? Because he tells you, because he's in you. He said, don't think that I'm going to pray to the Father for you. Isn't that what a lot of the church that calls themselves Christian do? They are going after a saint or going after a personality, a biblical personality, to have them intercede for them, right? If they could pray on my behalf, right? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? He said, don't think that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father loves you himself, right? Jesus is not praying for you. Right? Jesus, you know, but you say, well, I thought, hold on a second, hold on, because you're getting all messing up now my thing, because didn't you say, though? I know that the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's our advocate, and he's our intercessor, right? Well, you said that he's not praying for you, but what is he doing there? Right? Well, here's what he did. Jesus Christ did not present his body nor his blood in a temple, right, made with human hands. In other words, he didn't enter the holiest of all in a Jewish temple and enter in there and present his blood as though he was an animal. Because he is not the animal, right? That animal was a picture of him. He is not a picture of the animal. The animal sacrifice was a picture of him. So what did he do? He entered into the presence of God. He said, for us, let me show you something. Let me show you how you were brought to him. Show you how you were brought to him. It's good to see it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. You know what I've had people tell me so many times? You know, because they're trying to appease their conscience a little bit, right? Because they don't read the Bible enough, they feel, right? So what they say is, you know what? Because I'm not like you. You know how there's people that they can just, you know, spew out chapter and verse? Because I'm not like that, you know? I love God, and I know his word, right? But I just don't memorize it like that, you know, like chapter and verse like that. So they're wrong on several accounts, right? Because you're trying to make yourself feel good because maybe you don't have a great memory. So because you can't memorize stuff, you feel that makes you feel better, because you say, you know, I'm still involved with God on an emotional level, I just can't memorize stuff, right? But that's not what he wants, right? You should be able to know what the scripture says. And God could, you see, just because if I would have memorized that, 1 Peter 3:18, there's lots of verses where the Lord has shown me them so many times where I got them in my head and I can tell you them. But don't think that I'm more godly because I can tell you that, right? Because there's lots of people that can tell you lots of memorized verses and they don't even know God. They know what his word says. Pharisee can spew out to you scripture. They are taught to memorize scripture. But does that mean that they know God? Right? That doesn't mean that they know God just because they can memorize scripture. So we don't have to be people that are fooled by people's eloquency or how they talk or their memorization, right? It's different. You know. You know whether somebody knows God or whether they don't know God. You know, but we won't go there anyway. But 1 Peter chapter 3, let me show you something. This is good. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. You see what he did? The just for the unjust means the righteous for the unrighteous. He suffered, he who was righteous, suffered for you, the unrighteous one. I wonder what he did with that. What did he accomplish with that? He suffered the righteous for the unrighteous. Now you understand, right? Why it says that he became sin, so that he who knew no sin became sin, so that you could become the what? The righteousness of God. Not in yourself, in Christ. Why? Because he suffered what? The righteous for the unrighteous. So he's reconciling you. Watch what he does. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Please see that, right? Why did he suffer? So that he might bring us to God. Why did he suffer? So that he might bring us to God. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. Did he do that? Did he suffer? Yes. Did he bring you to God? Yes. Right? He has brought you to the Father. He has reconciled you to Him. So when you do something wrong, let me go ahead and kill that sacred cow in your head, right? When you do something wrong, are you separated from God? The only way you could do that, if you could undo what Jesus did, then you would be right, right? But you were brought to God before you were even born, right? Before you were born, you were brought to God, right? So how could you undo it if you weren't there? If you weren't there to do it, how could you undo it? That's called what the church is learning to be called the grace of God, right? The grace of God is you having what you did not earn. You possessing what you did not earn. It says that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, we being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and he preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. And that's a whole different sermon, and that'll blow people's mind, right? That Jesus actually preached to the people who were already dead, right? But we'll leave that for a different day, right? But here's the beautiful thing, right? The beautiful thing is that if you see, what was he doing? He was bringing you to God. What did Jeremiah 31 say? He says, there is a day that's coming. There's a day that's coming where I will put my law that Joshua needed to meditate on day and night. That law that he didn't have in him, that he had to meditate on day and night. In other words, he had to use his brain to meditate on that word, because he didn't have the mind of Christ. You do. He did not receive the promise that you today possess, right? What you have is better than what he had. Now in a shadow, who is Joshua? Joshua is Yeshua, right? Joshua is Jesus. Brought the people out of the wilderness into what? Into the promised land. He brought them in. How did he bring them in? Because they heard the words of Joshua and they went in, right? If we were to hear the words of Yeshua, the words of Jesus, right? We also could go into the promised land and we would receive our inheritance, which is the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And then when you receive the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you could partake of what God has given you partake, right? In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says what? That you have become partakers of his divine nature. How? By the knowledge of him. By knowing him. You know what he says? God tells us, he teaches in Jeremiah 31, he said that he did that. He did all of those things in order so that what? So that they could know him, that he is the God, right, who has been merciful to our unrighteous, right? In other words, that our sin and our lawless deeds he would remember no more. Do you see the place that Paul entered to? Now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? No condemnation. And if I wish I had time, which we don't. But you know what? If you were to read Hebrews chapter 10, you know what you would see there in Hebrews chapter 10? In a nutshell, what you would read, right, is that God was bringing us to him. And in order for God to bring us to him, for the presence of God to live in you, the presence of God dwelt where? In the holiest of all, right? The presence of God dwelt in the holiest of all, not everywhere with the people of Israel, but in the holiest of all in the temple, right? The only way that God could come dwell in you is if you were holy. Because if you ain't holy, he ain't coming in, right? You needed to be holy. How could you be holy? Jesus Christ needed to bring you to the Father and present you to him as being holy and blameless without a single fault. How can he do that when the whole world is filled with a bunch of sinners that can't do right even if they wanted to do right? How does that happen? So the righteous suffers for the unrighteous, takes their sins, and God says today, I put your sins away. I put your sins away as far as the east is from the west. Now the Spirit on the inside of you can be life because of what? because of the righteousness that is not your own. So he says, hear me. Why? Because he wants you, your relationship with him, to be better than even what Adam had. To be better than even what Eve had. You don't hear from God because you stick your nose in the Bible. You hear from God because you speak to him, because he is a person, and because he lives on the inside of you. And because he wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his bride, right? He wants you to know that you are his. That you are his. And he wants to speak to you. And the Spirit of God wants to speak to you things. Listen, it says that the Spirit of God, Jesus said, because I ascended, because I go to the Father, because I have made you righteous, I will send him. And he will speak to you and say to you things to come. And he will guide you into truth. And we're allowing Thomas Nelson with his publication to lead us to the truth, right? But Thomas Nelson can't lead you to the truth, right? The New King James or the New Living Translation or the Young's Little Translation or the King James Version, and people are advocates for a written word, they cannot lead people to God, right? Only the Spirit on the inside of a man can teach. Because you know what? Only the Spirit of God knows the heart of God. Just like only your spirit knows you. And that's scripture, right? That's scripture. That's what he says. He says the reason why you have received the Spirit is because only the Spirit knows the deep things of God. And only the Spirit can teach you those deep things. And he wants to tell us things that we don't even know yet. He wants to tell you things that are beyond your understanding. He wants to give you a peace that you can't understand. A peace that surpasses what? Understanding. Keep trying to understand peace and you're going to see if you're going to get some. Right? Because there's a peace that passes understanding, but you want to understand how you get peace. Let's see how that works for you, right? It ain't going to work. Right? It's not going to work. You're trying to lean on your own understanding to understand God. Listen to what I wrote down. It was simple, but it was profound and it helped me immensely, right? The Lord just told me, you know what? I don't want you to understand me. I don't want you to understand me. I want you to know me. Right? Nobody, God doesn't want to be understood, right? God wants to be known. And to be known is the same known intimacy that says that Adam knew Eve. That's the kind of knowing God is talking about. That's why he calls you a bride. That's how intimate God wants to be with you. More intimate than any person could ever be with you, even physically, right? Because that's as close as your wife can get to you. As close as a husband and wife can get is just physical. That's it. But then what? But God can be intimate with us in levels deeper than any human being can go into the recesses of your mind and use a sword called the sword of the Spirit to cut away the things that don't belong and cast down imaginations like the commander of the Lord's army should be the only one that knows how to do and cast down those things down and leave you with a heart. Leave you with a heart after the aftermath of all that he's done. Leave you a heart that is his. The Bible says, so you have the mind of Christ so you can know. Right? Isn't it good? Listen, what it'll do and continue to grow in the things that God is teaching us, you know what it'll do? It'll help you in your time to just free you, right? To be able to just talk with him and to spend time with him and to let him speak into you. You don't have to try to get him to talk. Listen, I tell you, I learned that. You don't have to try to get God to talk. Lord, speak to me, please. So you don't have to try to get him to talk. Right? He delights. He wants you to let your soul delight itself in fatness. He wants you to let your heart hear him. Right? Just let yourself hear him. How do you know that? How do you know that you can hear him? Right? Because the Bible says, right, that it's been given to you to understand. That you have this received the Spirit so that you may know. Right? Let the Spirit of God who is in you rise up within you like a fountain. Right? People make that out to be the flakiest, dumbest thing about living water, not understanding what he told the Samaritan woman, right? He's given you living water. He's given you living water like scripture is alive and powerful, right? He's given you living water. It's the same thing. And he put his word in you so that it said it will become in you a fountain. Do you have to make God talk to you? It'll become in you a fountain to your heart. Do you have to get God to talk to you? It'll become in you a fountain. If you want to know just a physical analogy, it won't help you understand very much, right? But if you want to just see what I'm talking to you about, right? Go to a fountain and stick your face in it. See if you have to convince it to get water to come out, right? Right? It's a fountain. It's a fountain. How long will it happen, Lord? Will it stop? Everlasting. Everlasting. Never ending. You can't get God to stop speaking to you. Right? So it's not on his part, right? It's just if we could just be still, the Bible says, and know. Be still and know. You see the secret right there? Stop your mind. Stop it. Stop your mind from trying to understand. Stop it. Stop it from trying to hear. Just stop it, right? Just say, Lord, I can't understand. I can't know. But thank God I have your spirit on the inside of me and I can know. And I can hear you speak to me. And it don't matter if for 10 years you don't hear nothing. You keep proclaiming the same thing. And believe me, it won't take that long, right? It won't take that long. Instantly you hear the Lord start bringing things to your mind and heart. You know what you'll find? You'll be minding your business, mowing the lawn. And it'll hit, boom, right in your head. You're like, ooh, that's good. You weren't even trying. You were just mowing the lawn. Just mowing the lawn, cooking dinner, stirring the beans, right? Just stirring the beans. That's it. And you just thinking about the Lord, right? And I'm telling you, even times that you don't even have your mind there. He brings something up to your mind. You're like, ooh, I'm gonna write that down. That's good, right? If you can give your soul rest, can you hear the Lord Jesus Christ just saying that to you? Can you hear Jeremiah 31, right? Can we just do that? Can we just close our eyes and we'll close there in prayer? Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would hear you saying that to us, Lord. Come to me. Get your nose out of understanding and just come to me. You that are weary and bogged down with much work and much serving. Lord, you told that to Martha. You said, Martha, Martha, you're so busy trying to serve me, trying to cook for me, trying to tend to me. And here is Mary at my feet, just willing to hear what I have for her. She's found it. My God, church, if you would hear, Mary found it. She sat herself at the feet of Jesus, not trying to do anything for him, not trying to serve him, not trying to wipe his feet, not trying to bring him coffee, not trying to do something for him, not trying to do a big work for God, not trying to be miraculous, not trying to be supernatural. She just sat down and she shut up. She just sat down. And Lord Jesus, you said to her, she has found the good part and it will not be taken from her. Lord Jesus, you said that if we seek you, we will find you. How was Mary seeking you that day? You said she found it. She found it. She didn't have a Bible. She didn't have a New Testament. She didn't have a Bible school degree. She didn't have anything. She just sat there to listen to you. And Jesus, you said she found it. That's it right there. That's it right there. My Lord Jesus, that you made a covenant with us, my Lord, so that we would be yours. Our heart fully yours. Come to me, you said. Come to me, you that are weary from religious exercise. You that are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and I am gentle at heart. You will find rest for your soul that has been so busy. Your mind, your will, and your emotions so busy about religious calisthenics, and yet all that you wanted, Lord, was just for us to come to you. Jesus, thank you that you bought us to yourself. That you bought us to yourself, the just for the unjust. We have a place, Jesus, that is a divine appointment that we have with you. You set us up, Lord, so that we already are with you. And you came and you lived on the inside of us. And you're in us right now. This moment, you're in us right now. Jesus. Jesus, let it not go on another day with us continually ignoring you because we're so busy with action, so busy with trying to do, so busy with trying to put our minds on something. In Romans chapter 10, my Father, you fulfilled Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. In Romans chapter 10, Lord, you taught us. He said that the righteousness that we possess now, which is a faith, speaks in this way. The word now is near you. The word is now in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. You fulfill that, Jesus. You fulfill Joshua 1:8. That only if your word would be in our mouth would we have good success. And you assured us, my God, and gave us a sure means of success and prosperity in all our life and in everything. Don't let it depart from your mouth. So what did you do? You put it in our hearts so that out of the abundance of our heart now, our mouth would speak. If we allow your word in our hearts to go dormant because we're too busy memorizing what's written, Father, the only thing that we're missing is just that we're not hearing you. So what have you been teaching us? Hear me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. So thank You, Lord, that we have encouraged Your people today, Lord, and You have spoken different things and in different ways, Lord, and all of them, Lord, leading to just, Lord, proclaiming all that You have done to bring us unto Yourself so that we can know what we have and what we possess and be partakers of what is already ours. So we thank You and we praise You, Lord, and we love You. We thank You for what You're doing and for what You're teaching us and where You're taking us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we love You. And we all together said, Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.